From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And then K-State's Mike Wolverton will join us to take up the agricultural energy market. Speaking of which, we'll hear today how some of the industry heavyweights view President-elect Obama's plan to invest in clean energy. Also this half hour, the statisticians from the Western Corn Belt will wrap up the growing season with our final reports from Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit finished the December contract 3.5 cents lower. At $5.34, the March at 5.52¾ down 4, the May at 5.66½, 3¾ lower, and July wheat at 5.80¼ down 3.5 cents. December corn at 3.53½, a penny lower, the March at 3.70½ on the settlement price for a Tuesday down 0.5 cent. May futures off a half at 3.81¾, July at 3.93 down 0.5, and next year's December at 4.17½. Down 0.25 cents. January soybean futures a penny lower on the day, $8.83 the settlement price. The March at $8.91½, down 0.25. May futures at $9.05, down 0.25. And July contract in the bean pit at $9.10, up 0.5 cent. November futures finished the day like this at $9.02, up 0.5. December bean meal futures at $2.62.50, up $4.80. January bean meal at $2.62, up $4.60. December bean oil at $32.24, down 50. The January futures there at $32.64, down 47. From the CME's livestock side, December contract for the live cattle at $85.82½, down 82½ cents today. February $87.32½, down 27½ cents on the afternoon. Feeder cattle finished the nearby contract at $91.40 unchanged for the January, the March at $92.25 unchanged as well. And December lean hog futures today settled at $57.72½, up 35 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures at $50.85 a barrel are down $3.65 at this hour, but the February has gained $4.66, trading at $55.62 a barrel. December ethanol at $1.67, down 3½ cents. Natural gas at $6.38 is down 44¢. And the RBOB gasoline at 109¢ is down 4¢ for the day. December heating oil futures, that's diesel fuel at $1.70¢, down 7¢. And December propane futures at 73¢ of a cent, up 4¢. Gold futures trading the November contract at $818.40 an ounce, down a dollar. December futures down a dollar as well at $818.50. The Dow now stands just about 75 points lower at 83.68. The U.S. dollar, currently trading at 85.07, is down 0.63. And the CRB index at 238 is down 5.8 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in northern and east-central Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, scattered flurries. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows this evening will range from 20 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 30 in Chicago. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 39 in the far northern parts of Indiana to 54 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The extended forecast calls for dry and seasonably mild weather right on through Thanksgiving today. A cool front will pass through the two-state area on Thursday night, and it appears that front will come through mostly dry with the best chance of showers in the south on Friday during the day. Some snow showers may occur Sunday at the tail end of the holiday weekend. Precip, though, expected to remain very, very light.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Recapping the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the corn pit were mixed, with the nearby down a penny. The far deferreds were up a quarter of a cent, but next year's December up a quarter. Soy complex finished the nearby January's down a penny. Next year's November contract was up a half. And from the wheat pit, futures were down about 3 to 4 cents for the day over at the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle futures were down just about 80 cents, and the feeders were unchanged. Lean hogs finished 35 cents higher in the nearby December contract. On the phone with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Hello, good afternoon, Todd.
Recap the numbers for me and how things finished in Chicago. In your sense, good, bad day? Equal day? What happened?
Well, I think today was a consolidation day. Along yesterday, we saw a tremendous sort of turnaround from how we traded on Friday. A lot of that was, goaded by the fact that we saw such a turnaround in the stock market Friday after the grain futures closed, and the enthusiasm that carried into Sunday night with a little bit of a rally then, and also the way that the Dow was acting again yesterday. Today, after the surge that we had, we sort of consolidated again, Todd, and closed pretty much unchanged by the time the day was over. But we did have our fluctuations, as we couldn't decide whether to follow the crude oil back down or to follow the dollar, which was retreating, which was counteracting each other there.
On this shortened holiday weekend, what are your expectations, or week, what are your expectations for trade Wednesday and then the rest of the week?
Well, of course, we generally have the seasonal feeling that beans do well the day before and after Thanksgiving. We're not sure that will follow through here again tomorrow, but, that is a seasonal that has been around for many years. I think we did and have seen some trade in the crude oil that basically seems like we're probably nearing a bottom, or there's less likely for it to go on down from here. Not that we need to look at a rally, but maybe some stabilization in the oil market as we look at things here, Todd. And if the oil market can stabilize and the dollar quotas is sent up, why, we probably have a much better chance of stabilizing the grain prices. And we look for, maybe a slight sideways to slight up move the rest of the week here, I guess, in the grains because of that.
And then would you expect that to continue right on through the holiday season through the first of the year? Do you think we're in that bottoming zone at this point?
We seem to be in the consolidation bottoming area here, but with the volatility that we have, with the way that this stock market could react to just who's nominated, a new bank that might be in trouble, something along the way with the stimulus package, we can easily, because of the volatility, move 20 cents lower than where we're at here in, say, the corn or the beans. But it does seem to us at this point in time that consolidation and bottoming action is occurring.
Are you hearing much about the stimulus package and whether people think that that this will be the trick that turns the trade, not just for grains, but primarily for the economy? Have you heard much analytical look at that?
I think that basically the government is keeping it unclear enough for us to form a real opinion about. And unfortunately, the confidence level of Congress to manage anything tremendously well isn't extremely high. But I do think that hopefully we're going in the right direction. Hopefully we can start stabilizing a few things because we're sure pouring a lot of money into it. I don't quite understand the whole banking principle, and maybe they need to explain it to us better. Maybe they need to keep it a better secret. But, it is amazing to us how somebody is too big to fail is what's being repeated over and over in the countryside.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, we'd like to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving and hope they enjoy their holiday.
Yeah, a couple of other things before you go. You'll be here tomorrow for an early trade. I know we have trade on Friday, but I don't really want to work too much on Friday, so we're going to record Commodity Week early. Thanks for coming over for that one. We'll put that up on our website at willag.org. And hopefully you've been telling folks, Wayne, about our brand new, that telephone reminded me in the background, about our new telephone system at 217-333-3434. They can call and get a shortened version of our analysis.
Well, that sounds like a good idea for any of the guys that can't get near their computers. You know, guys with their cell phones now, they can call in and check that if they just miss our update in the afternoons.
Indeed. Thanks much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
See you tomorrow. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You can listen to it again if you'd like at willag.org or, of course, at 217-333-3434 on our brand new telephone service. We call it our mobile analyst portal.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report. That's this program. And of Commodity Week, you can hear them both on our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You can also hear a shortened version of the Ag Future segment. That's the one we just completed, if you'd like, anytime you'd like, on our brand new telephone system. The number to call is 217-333-3434. We update that about 9:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with a shorter version of the analysis segments right there on the telephone system. Call 217-333-3434. We call it the Mobile Analyst Portal. Now up next, President-elect Obama says he wants any new stimulus package to invest in clean energy. The nation's corn growers and the ethanol industry are already looking at how to fashion a stimulus bill to do just that. National Corn Growers Association Vice President of Public Policy John Doggett says a stimulus bill could be used to lower the so-called blend wall that limits the amount of ethanol in gasoline.
We're going to have more ethanol in the marketplace than the marketplace will take, because we are limited in most areas to a 10% maximum on the blend of ethanol to gasoline.
As for research and development?
Right now, it would appear that the stimulus package, as discussed by the Democratic leadership, would not include long-term research projects. So I think that they're trying to limit the scope in activities and expenditures and investments that will produce a short-term stimulus to the economy rather than a longer-term product.
Renewable Fuels Association spokesman Matt Hartwig disagrees and predicts new investments in lower carbon technologies.
Be they technologies that improve the efficiency at ethanol plants today, or they go to developing the next generation of technologies that are at the doorstep. I think those efforts are critical to a President-elect Obama's green jobs and green focus.
Along with more flex fuel vehicles and ethanol blending and distribution infrastructure, and reducing oil imports, Hartwig says, will boost the nation's finances.
By being more reliant on domestically produced sources of renewable fuel, you not only begin creating the jobs for the next generation and far into the future with respect to our energy needs, but you also have the very immediate impact of backing out imports of foreign oil, reducing our trade deficit because of that addiction to foreign oil.
The U.S. imports an estimated $700 billion in foreign oil a year, adding to the U.S. trade deficit, the budget deficit, and overseas borrowing. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's a really good one, all about marketing. It's easy to do, and it's free. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Don't worry if you don't like it. Just hit unsubscribe. Subscribing, unsubscribe, it's all easy at willag.org. Now it's time for our final growing season installment of crop conditions in the Western Corn Belt. But we'll start with national statistics. You know, nationwide, 89% of the corn acreage has been harvested. That's 10 points behind last year, 8 points behind the 5-year average. Harvest is complete in the Southeast and Tennessee Valley and was nearly complete in the Ohio Valley last week. However, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, and the Dakotas are well behind. They remain about 10 points behind the usual harvest pace. Major delays were evident in North and South Dakota as producers were reaping their crop 40 and 22 points behind the average, respectively. Winter wheat emergence has occurred in 92% of the acreage. That's 4 points ahead of last year and 1 point ahead of the 5-year average. The condition of the crop received a rating of 65% good to excellent. That's a 1 point decline for the winter wheat condition from the previous week's rating.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 23, 2008. Dry weather and freezing ground temperatures allowed harvest equipment back into unharvested fields across most of Iowa. Application of fall fertilizer remained slow, advancing to 32% complete, far behind the 55% average for this date. Progress is particularly slow in the southwest and south central districts. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work during the week compared with 5.9 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture is rated 1% very short, 3% short, 75% adequate, and 21% surplus. Subsoil moisture is rated 1% very short, 6% short, 77% adequate, and 16% surplus. Grain movement from farm to elevator accelerated slightly from the previous week, with 26% rated no movement, 32% rated light, 33% rated moderate, and 9% rated heavy. Off-farm grain storage availability rated 11% short, 81% adequate, and 8% surplus. And on-farm storage availability rated 19% short, 76% adequate, and 5% surplus. The corn harvest advanced to 86% complete, more than 2 weeks behind last year and the 5-year average of 98%. Harvest is nearing completion in the northwest and north central districts, but still lags in the south central district where only 59% of the acreage has been harvested. Availability of hay and roughage for livestock feed rated 9% short, 86% adequate, and 5% surplus. This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 23rd, 2008.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending November 23rd, 2008. Dry weather allowed corn and sorghum harvest to make progress. Corn harvest is 13 days behind the 5-year average at 82% complete. Some producers are still reporting excess grain moisture levels in the corn. Sorghum harvest is 20 days behind the 5-year average and is 77% complete. Winter wheat conditions are the best they have been for 10 years at 79% good or excellent. Other activities around the state included moving cattle to stock, fall tillage, and applying fertilizer. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending November 23, 2008. Corn harvest advanced 12 percentage points and sunflower harvest advanced 13 percentage points during this last week. A lack of precipitation across the state allowed the harvest progress for corn and sunflowers to continue at a good pace. Freezing temperatures throughout the state, however, has hindered some farmers' ability to till the soil and apply fertilizer. The average temperature for the week was 22.2 degrees, 4.7 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, November 21st, were rated 4% short, 79% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated at 2% very short, 18% short, 71% adequate, and 9% surplus. Statewide, there were on average 4.7 days suitable for field work during the week. As of Sunday, November 23rd, 92% of the corn crop was harvested compared to 100% last year and 97% for the 5-year average. Sunflower harvest reached 93% complete compared to 100% last year and 95% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather. For the week ending November 23rd, 2008, I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take our weekly look at the agricultural energy markets once a month. Mike Wolverton, K-State grain analyst and ethanol exceptional specialist, is with us this afternoon to take up those markets. Hi, how are you doing this afternoon, Mike?
Hi, Todd. I'm very well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. I guess the first question out of the chute here is about the condition of ethanol plants across the Midwest. 16, I think, is the number, at least the last number I saw, that we're headed into bankruptcy with a potential of 40. What are your counts looking like?
Well, there's no doubt the ethanol industry is really in trouble right now. I just calculated the ethanol profit margin this morning, and it's negative, about 5.5 cents per gallon in the red. And there's kind of a curious situation here. I've noticed the RBOB, which is the reformulated blending gasoline price, is $1.10 per gallon, at least it was this morning. And the ethanol cost of production is $1.61 per gallon. Now, most of the time, that blending gasoline price is well above ethanol, which gives the blenders an incentive to use ethanol because of lower their cost per gallon. But when the blending gasoline price is below ethanol, the only incentive is a blending tax credit of 51 cents per gallon. And curiously enough, today, if you take the $1.10 per gallon blending gasoline price, add 51 cents to it, you come up to 161, which is the cost of producing ethanol. So the only incentive right now for using ethanol and gasoline is that blending tax credit.
So the blending tax credit needs to be there in order for it to be economically viable or break even for the end user on that one. And even at that point, the ethanol producer is losing a nickel a gallon.
They're losing money on the ethanol production. They're still making money on distillers' grains, but the main product is ethanol, and they're not making money on that right now today.
What is your prognosis? When you look out of the future, what do you see? How far out can they run in this way, and can they survive?
Well, they can survive in the short run. There's an announcement by the EPA that they're increasing the ethanol inclusion rate, which will, I think, give ethanol prices a boost because their inclusion rate will be a little bit above capacity. So I think we're going to see ethanol prices strengthen throughout the next year.
But given that, will that not, unless the price of crude comes up, we'll be looking at the end of the end user losing money on that, right?
Well, that's the kicker in this whole deal. If the crude price of oil keeps dropping, then it becomes even more difficult to make money in ethanol, and we're in a whole new ballgame. I think it would be a real test of this country's resolve to have renewable fuels if we continue the ethanol program.
Thank you much, and we appreciate you joining us today. You have a good Thanksgiving.
You have a good one too, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye. Mike Wolverton is with K-State, where he serves as a grains analyst. He's based in Manhattan, Kansas. In 2 minutes, Don Day will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this day in agricultural history in 1715, Thomas Masters became the first American granted an English patent. It was actually for an invention discovered by Masters' wife for cleaning and curing Indian corn growing in several colonies in America. By the way, the first patent issued within the colonies occurred in 1641 for a new method of extracting salt. In 1837, the first U.S. patent was issued for a silk figure power loom. In 1846, Carrie Amelia Nation was born. a well-known temperance movement activist. She was famous for destroying saloons with a hatchet. And in 1884, the first U.S. patent for the process of evaporated milk was issued to John Meyenberg, a Swiss immigrant living in St. Louis. The process began by heating the milk with external hot steam while stirring, followed by cooling, straining, and condensing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Not too far in front of the Thanksgiving holiday. Can you give us a good sweep of what the weather will look like?
Well, it's looking, well, very much like late November should. It's gotten pretty chilly across most of the central and eastern half of the country. And with a vortex of cold air sitting up north of the Great Lakes, up towards Hudson Bay, and it's forecasted to spin around up there for another week or so. So this means that the chilly weather is going to continue. When it comes to moisture, though, there's really nothing big coming. We've got some small systems that will come out of the Canada Plains. There will be some moisture in the southern plains in the southeast United States, up in the Great Lakes and New England, but really nothing extraordinary with moisture. For the most part, it's a dry, cool forecast, chilly forecast for the next 4 to 5 days.
Oh, I love a vortex of chilly air. That sounds just... Well, if you have winter wheat, that sounds almost mean, especially if you don't have any cover. So you don't sound like they're going to put a lot of ground cover out there in any place. Do we have any concern about the winter wheat as it goes into dormancy, or are we just still too early in the season to worry about that?
It is certainly a concern. There's some areas that really do need some cover and some moisture, especially portions of Kansas, Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and areas up north into the Dakotas. It's been pretty dry here lately. Now, it is going to be cold, but not severe cold. But I can tell you from what we're seeing up in the northern latitudes way up into the Arctic, there's a lot of cold air building, and just the right setup in early to mid-December could really send a lot of cold air south. That would be the type of cold air that would give us concerns for wheat damage. So I think we still have a week or 10 days before we really need to get worried about it, but it is something that's going to be lingering in the back of our minds here as we look ahead into December.
Oh, I do recall days in December here where we've made it to 20 below. Are we talking that kind of cold air?
Well, there's that type of cold air that's building up there, and right now it's been locked up over northeast Siberia, across the North Pacific, into the Yukon. And right now we're being protected from it as the jet stream is in what we call a blocking pattern. But usually what will happen is that block will eventually break down, and the day of reckoning will come, but we don't see that at least for another 10 days or so. But it will be cool. Temperatures at or a little bit below normal east of the Mississippi for the next 10 days.
As I look to South America, it appears that it's either sunny, depending on where you are, or cloudy, but not too terribly bad weather.
No, not bad at all. Temperatures are near normal. It is a little bit warm in Argentina, expected to be that warm. Near to above normal temperatures there, while conditions closer to normal in Brazil. Now, the longer-term outlook is calling for a little bit in the way of maybe some precipitation, especially for Argentina as we get into this weekend and next. So the outlook is for maybe some moisture down south, with temperatures at or a little bit above normal.
You want to pick up on the wheat crops, whether they be in the southern hemisphere or the northern hemisphere, and how they're faring in other parts of the globe?
Well, if we go over to Australia, they're looking at, in the wheat areas, some precipitation over the next week to 10 days. It appears that Australia may have a better growing season this year. The precipitation has started to come back, and the outlook is better there. I think in South America, with that rain in some areas of Argentina, will certainly help there. If we were to go back into the northern hemisphere, Does look like precipitation chances over many areas of Europe, including Russia, including Ukraine, does look favorable for moisture over the next 10 days.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day with Day Weather. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.